Thank you, Ganesh, and dear listeners. Yes, after Vedam, it is time for bhajans. Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Since we started the Thursday live programs, this is one program that has continued, and we only think how to improve it. We do not think that we have to any time suspend this or give it a break. Some programs that we have started, we have paused, thinking that it would be good to do something else for some time. But somehow, bhajans is so central to our lives, to Bhagwan's mission and to the life of every Sai devotee, that you feel this is one thing that has to continue. Yes, it can be improved, it can be altered, it can be made better, but this has to go on. Naham vasami vaikunthe yoginam hridaye nacha matbhakta yatra gayanti tatra tishtami narada. This is what the Lord declares. I don't reside in Vaikuntha, naham vasami Vaikunthe. Yoginam hridaye nacha. He even goes to the extent of saying that I am not the one who resides in Vaikuntha or even the hearts of the yogis. You know where I reside? I install myself there where my devotees sing my glory. Bhagwan on one occasion said, devotional singing, bhajan singing is one of the processes by which you can train the mind to expand into eternal values. Teach the mind to revel in the glory and majesty of God. Wean it away from petty horizons of pleasure. Devotional singing induces in you a desire for experiencing the truth, to glimpse the beauty that is God, to taste the bliss that is the Self. It encourages man to dive into himself and be genuinely his real self. This is what bhajan singing can do. It will make us go in. It will make us look within, seek within, dive within and seek, at least glimpse that unknowable phenomenon and revel in His majesty and glory. Away from everything that is transient, temporary, short-lived. So dear listeners, we are very happy that this program continues, and we are so grateful to each one of you for your support, for sending us those emails which always inspire us. And we are ever beholden to Bhagwan for having given us this opportunity of knowing Him, this opportunity of singing to Him, this opportunity of doing something and adding meaning to our lives. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu. The time in the studios now is 6:50, so it's time to move on and learn one more bhajan. Let us close our eyes, picturize the beautiful form of Lord, top to toe, be lost in His beauty, in His grandeur, in His glory, in His love. And let us sing our heart out. Let us offer our most reverential and grateful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan. Dear Lord, please bless us so that we may attune ourselves to You in a manner that we feel Your presence in
everything we do, that we may feel your love in every word we speak and in every person we meet. With this prayer, let's move on and welcome to this fresh episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. The bhajan we will be learning today is dedicated to adoring our beloved Bhagwan as Lord Rama. This bhajan is in the language Hindi, and the first line goes like this.
Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare.
So let's begin by becoming familiar with the lyrics of the bhajan, and then as always we'll move on to learning its tune, its raga, the beat of the bhajan, the meaning of its every line, and in the end we will listen to Brother Bal Ramchandran, a former student of Babas University and a very gifted bhajan singer.
Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare. Sai Ram bhajo man hare hare. Raghupati Raja Ram Ram Patita Pavana Sita Ram Sai Ram Bhajo Mana Hare Hare.
Now that we know the lyrics, let's move on to learning how to sing this bhajan. You will first hear Brother Ravi Kumar sing every line without any musical accompaniments. Then you will hear Brother Anirudh follow every line. You too, dear listeners, please join Anirudh.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G Pancham. For ladies, the scale would be D Pancham.
Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare.
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 Sai 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 Ram bhajo man hare hare.
Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare.
Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare.
Raghupati Raja Ram Ram.
Raghupati Raja Ram
Ram. Raghupati Raja Ram Ram.
Raghupati Raja Ram Ram.
Patita Pavan Sita Ram.
Patita Pavan Sita Ram.
Patita Pavan Sita Ram.
Patita Pavan Sita Ram.
Sai Ram bhajo man hare hare.
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 Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare.
So that is the simple melody of this beautiful Rama bhajan, and Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh sang it for you slowly. And now from Anirudh, let us learn a little more about the swaras of this bhajan. So Anirudh, tell us what is this raga behind this composition?
Sairam Vishu. It is a beautiful bhajan, happy and peppy bhajan, which is short, simple to follow.
Yes.
This bhajan is based on the all the major notes, that is all Shuddha notes, which is Shankaravarnam, which is a very, very popular raga. You have many bhajans, many compositions, songs, the Western music. The Hindustani music starts with Bilawal raga, which is the Hindustani equivalent of Shankaravarnam. And you have many rhymes, songs and
happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. Yeah,
so it's all in Shankaravarnam.
Yeah,
right?
All in Shankaravarnam. It's a very beautiful raga. You might think that it is very simple, you know, all the seven notes.
But there are no minor notes.
And there are no minor notes. So what impact does it make and all that? But there is so much depth in this raga that each note is very important. In the sense that when we, you know, go into analyzing the each note, how it plays its own role, sarigama padanisa, and which are the basic building block for any music.
It's a complete raga. It has all the shuddha swaras.
Yeah.
So it's a complete form of the seven notes.
Yeah, and these are the very, very basic
building
block for any music. Mm-hmm. So. Absolutely. So I'll do the arohana and avarohana of this raga.
Sa ri ga ma pa dha ni sa, sa ni dha pa ma ga ri sa.
Beautiful are the notes, isn't it? And especially I was just thinking about
Janaganamana Adhinayak.
It's a beautiful melody in this raga, which sounds so brilliant when played in any instrument, be it flute, be it sarangi, be it violin, be it string section, be it santur. And A.R. Rahman sir has done a beautiful job in getting out the proper instrumental version of the Janaganamana.
Amazing.
And in some sense, I think it is also the building block of not only Carnatic music, Hindustani music, but it's also building block of so many bhajans.
Exactly. Yeah, you have many bhajans in this, based on this raga. You have bhajans like
Shambho Mahadeva.
It's a bhajan which is in almost in Shankaravarnam. So you have many short peppy bhajans like
Nandalala yadu Nandalala Vrindavana Govindalala.
And
Bhajamana Govinda Gopala.
Also you have a beautiful melody,
Shiva Shiva Shankara.
Except the first line, it has some other notes, but almost the main part of the bhajan,
Bala Ganga Dharasa.
It all belongs to Shankaravarnam.
Beautiful. I think once we see the notes of every line, probably we'll appreciate this bhajan more and we'll relish this raga more.
Yeah, it's a simple bhajan and we'll do the first line.
Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare, ni ni sa ni ni dha pa 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 da ni sa ni sa,
ni ni sa ni ni dha pa 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 da ni sa ni sa.
Sai Ram bhajo man hare hare, ga 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 ma ri ga ma pa ma ga ma ga ri sa,
ga 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 ma ri ga ma pa ma ga ma ga ri sa.
Again we come back to the first line.
Ni ni sa ni ni dha pa 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 da ni sa ni sa. Raghupati Raja Ram Ram, sa pa 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 dha ma 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 ga pa,
sa pa 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 dha ma 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 ga pa.
Patita pavana sitaram, ga ga ri ga ma ga ri sa ni ni sa ga ri
ga 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 ri ga ma ga ri sa ni ni sa ga ri.
The last two lines of this bhajan are same as the first two lines, the tune wise, so the same swaras follow for the lines.
It sounds very nice when you listen to the swaras,
and it's very simple bhajan to follow, isn't it?
Yeah. So what is the beat, Anirudh?
The beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, and it is a medium fast bhajan. The count is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Two, three, four. Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare.
Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare.
I think that gives us a good idea of the raga, the swaras and the beat. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Arun Sai.
Thank you, Shushu. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
So now we know the lyrics, the raga, the tala of this bhajan. Let's move on to understanding the inner feeling with which the bhajan should be sung. So here is the first line.
Ram Ram bhajo man hare hare.
The word Ram refers to Lord Rama. Bhajo mana comes from bhajo, which means sing or chant. Mana means mind. Hare is a variation of Hari, which is an often used name for Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is considered the second among the Holy Trinity of Gods according to ancient Indian culture and spirituality. Baba explains that Hari means remover or destroyer, since he destroys hurdles on the path to spiritual practice and spiritual discipline. Lord Rama is considered an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, and Rama means he who is pleasing and lovable. Ramyate iti Rama. Bhagwan also explains the inner meaning of the three syllables Ra, A and Ma. Ra represents fire god that burns away our sins. A indicates Surya or sun god. He dispels the darkness of ignorance. Ma represents Chandra or moon god. Cools one's temper and produces tranquility. Therefore, Rama has the triple power of washing away one's sins, removing one's ignorance, and quietening one's mind. In his writing, Ramakatha Rasavahini, Bhagwan narrates the story of Lord Rama. When Rama, Sita and Lakshmana were making their way to the forest to live there for 14 years, they met many sages in their hermitages on the way. They also happened to meet sage Agastya in his ashram. Lord Rama sought advice from sage Agastya on what he could do to protect the sages and monks by destroying the demons. He also asked the sage to suggest a suitable place where he, Sita and Lakshmana could stay. Sage Agastya said that near his ashram flowed the Godavari river, and close to that was the Dandakaranya forest, which was afflicted due to a curse by a sage. He said that Lord Rama could sanctify that region by residing in it and thereby confer bliss upon the monks and the sages who were staying there. Agastya further added that when Rama took up residence in that forest, the demons would be decimated and the curse would be lifted. Moreover, monks and spiritual aspirants would again dwell there and progress in their austerities, and this would result in enormous benefits for entire humanity. He also mentioned that the sage who pronounced the curse would become happy. Lord Rama agreed to all this, and along with Mother Sita and Lakshmana entered the Dandakaranya forest. Even as he entered, trees that had gone dry were thrilled into greenery and were covered with tender green leaves. The forest felt alive. Rama, Sita and Lakshmana arrived at the place called Panchavati, which sage Agastya had indicated, and chose a spot there. They built a hut there and lived happily. This news spread far and wide. Every day groups of ascetics visited Rama's hermitage along with their pupils to pay homage to him. They were blessed with a fulfilling darshan of him. They also had the good fortune of speaking to Rama and being spoken to by him.
Many others came with the intention of solving the doubt that disturbed them while trying to understand the scriptures and attempting to define and interpret the codes of morality or the scriptural texts on rituals. Others prayed to Rama and sought clarification on whether their ascetic practices were correct and beneficial, since Rama was the master of all dharmas and since he knew fully well all the scriptures, they derived fullest satisfaction from his answers and directives. Each one was filled with joyous contentment. Many were overcome with admiration and gratitude when they listened to the ideals propounded by Rama. They were so simple, so easy to grasp and understand and realize, so truly conforming to the dictates laid down in the scriptures and so free from complexity. They felt that they were very fortunate. A few of them laid themselves under the shady trees a little distance from Rama's cottage and watched out for him, eager to have additional chances of his darshan. When Rama sometimes came out of the cottage and walked around, they filled their eyes with his beautiful form. Thus they spent their days in full contentment. Ra in Rama refers to the fire god which burns away all the sins. Rama chose to live in the Dandakaranya forest and thereby burnt all the sins of that region and purified it. A indicates the sun god which removes the darkness of ignorance. Rama clarified all the doubts of the spiritual aspirants and removed their ignorance. Ma denotes the moon god which has a cooling effect on everyone. By bestowing his darshan, Rama gave cooling comfort to everyone there. Ram Ram Bhajo Mana Hari Hari. In this line, we chant the supremely sacred name of Lord Rama with all our mind and our heart. The Lord who is worshipped as Hari, the one who destroys all obstacles on our spiritual path. Let's move on to the second line.
Sai Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare.
The only new word here is Sai Ram. Sai means master. There is a beautiful incident recorded in the Shirdi Sai Satcharita where Shirdi Baba showed himself as Lord Rama. A Mamladar is the officer in executive charge of a taluka. Taluka is an area of land with a city or town that serves as its administrative center with possible additional towns and usually a number of villages. So there was a Mamladar who wanted to have Baba's darshan and he set out for Shirdi and he took along with him a friend who was a doctor. Now this doctor was a great devotee of Lord Rama and a scrupulous follower of all the rites, rituals, vows, etc. as prescribed by the scriptures. But he told this executive officer, I cannot bring myself to make obeisance at the feet of a Muslim and therefore I have my reservations about going to Shirdi. To this Mamladar said, no one will press you to touch his feet. Do not entertain any such ideas. Just be open. Never will Baba tell, make obeisance to me. So just come to Shirdi and experience with an open heart. Hearing this, the doctor agreed to go with him to Shirdi. And when they arrived there and went to the mosque for darshan where Baba was, the doctor, to the surprise of this officer, himself fell at Bhagwan's feet instantaneously. Now this officer stared at him in amazement and he said, what happened to your firm resolve? You said you will not prostrate in front of a Muslim. You said you didn't even want to go to his presence. What happened now? And then the doctor shared his experience. He said, oh my God, it was Sri Ram. He was of dark blue complexion whom I saw. I just could not but bow down to that pure, beautiful, adoring figure. See, can you not see? It is he, it is Lord Rama who is sitting there. It is he who is speaking to all. And even as he was lost in this ecstasy and he was describing to his friend how Lord Rama is, in an instant he saw, instead of Lord Rama, Baba's figure again sitting in that mosque. And
he was absolutely stunned. And he thought, is it a dream? Is this reality? How can I call this person to be a Muslim? He is an incarnation of God. He is my Rama. On one occasion, when a student performed a dance in front of Bhagwan, and the dance was about a song adoring Lord Rama, after his performance, when Bhagwan asked him, what is this dance about? And this boy said, Swami, this is Rama Rajyam. This is the kingdom of Rama. Swami looked around and said, no, this is not Rama Rajyam. This is Sai Rama Rajyam. This Prashant Nilayam is the kingdom of Sai Rama. Sai Ram Bhajavana Hare Hare. Let us recollect the beautiful form of Lord Rama, who incarnated as Sai Rama in the present times. Let's move on to the third line.
Ram Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare.
Now this is a repeat of the first line of this bhajan, so we will move on to the fourth line.
Raghupati Raja Ram Ram.
Raghupati can be split into Raghu and Pati. Raghu refers to Emperor Raghu, the great grandfather of Lord Rama. Pati means master. The dynasty of Lord Rama is often called the Raghu dynasty because Emperor Raghu was so impeccable in character and was an able administrator during his rule over the kingdom of Ayodhya. Not only that, he was a great warrior too. The dynasty was filled with duty-bound rulers such as King Raghu, and Lord Rama was indeed the crest jewel in this lineage. Lord Rama was not only a stellar ruler, but he was the most compassionate one, the most valorous one, at the same time the most virtuous one. And that is why he is hailed as the master of the Raghu clan, Raghupati. Raja means king. Elaborating on why Rama and his story are glorified around the world, Baba in a discourse to his students on 25th May 1992 said, the relevance of the Ramayana is not confined to a particular time, place or circumstance. It is of universal significance for all times. Its relevance is not limited to India alone. The Ramayana holds out Rama as an embodiment of ideal qualities. As a son, a friend, a brother, a master, a ruler, he was an ideal without a parallel. In the world, one may be an ideal son but not an ideal friend. One may be an ideal friend but not an ideal brother. Rama stood out unique as an embodiment of all ideal attributes. So in this line, Raghupati, Raja, Rama Ram, we hail Lord Rama, who shone as the ideal king and the one who was the crest jewel of the famed Raghu dynasty. We now move on to the fifth line.
Patita Pavana Sitaram.
Patita refers to sinners. Pavana, the one who purifies. Patita Pavana therefore means the Lord who sanctifies sinners and redeems them. Sita, his mother Sita, the divine consort of Lord Rama. King Janaka was one day turning the sword on the grounds where he had decided to perform a sacrifice, and there he found a vessel in the furrow. When he removed and examined it, he found in it a charming female child. Since the child came from the furrow, she was named Sita. She came from Mother Earth, and King Janaka brought her up with great love. Bhagwan says that Sita is born of the earth. She is the child of Mother Earth, and that is why she represents Prakriti or Mother Nature. Patita Pavana Sitaram. We glorify Lord Rama, who purifies and uplifts even the worst sinner. He is the master of Mother Nature. Let's move on to the sixth line.
Sai Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare.
are familiar with all the words in this line. There is a beautiful experience shared by Peddaputtu Amma, the great devotee who was blessed to see Shirdi Sai incarnation as well as Satya Sai incarnation. In her autobiography, she writes, at one point in her life, she had a wish to write a book entitled Satya Sai Vratakalpam, based on Bhagwan's life and the experiences of his devotees. In the book, she had wanted to include Navagraha Sthapana, that is the installation and puja of the nine planets, as is given in the Satyanarayana Vratakalpam. Bhagwan came in her dream one night and instructed her about this book. He asked her why she wanted to write in the manner she had thought of. She replied that she did not know any other method, she did not know how else to write. And if there was any other way Swami would want her to write, she would be happy to follow that way. Bhagwan then said, write Ganapati Puja. First write Ganapati Puja, then write my puja, then write the stories. That is enough. So having received this instruction from Bhagwan, she wrote as Bhagwan directed her. In the original book of Satyanarayana Vratakalpam, there are 5 stories, but in this book of hers, she wondered how many stories to include. And so she approached Professor Kasturi and he asked him about this. Professor Kasturi said, whose story will you write? It will create quarrels, because if you write someone's story and not include someone else's, then there would be misgivings about why you chose one and not the other. So let me think about this and I will tell you. And that night, Bhagwan came in Peddaputtu Amma's dream and said, Dhunapota, do you think that I have only 5 devotees? I have lakhs of devotees. If you write using only some names, others will strangle you and throw you into the Chitravati river when I am not around. So do not write about anybody. Write only about me. This is what Bhagwan told her in her dream. And next day, Peddaputtu Amma began thinking about how to divide Bhagwan's story into 5 parts. She remembered that in the Satyam Shivam Sundaram series of books on Bhagwan, it is mentioned that during the first 16 years of his life, he will demonstrate leelas or divine sport. In the next 16 years, he will show mahimas, divine manifestations, and later it will be the work for which he has come. So she divided her book into 5 chapters as Leela Kanda, the divine sport, Mahima Kanda, the manifestations, Raksha Kanda, protection, Siksha Kanda, teachings, Bodha Kanda, the preachings. And having divided Bhagwan's life into these 5 parts, she wrote as Bhagwan inspired her. And after she completed, she put the book in her box. And the next day, when she opened the box, to her utter amazement, she found that Bhagwan had corrected that text in many places in red ink. In some places, she had used the words Sarva Devata Swarupa, embodiment of all deities, to describe Bhagwan. And Bhagwan had used an insertion mark after the word Devata and had written the word Atita. So now the phrase Sarva Devata Swarupa read as Sarva Deva Atita Swarupa, which means he is not the embodiment of all deities, but he is the embodiment beyond all deities. Similarly, when she was describing Bhagwan's childhood, she had written that Bhagwan would go with children going bhajans. Bhagwan had inserted the words going from street to street going bhajans. And in the end, she wrote a Falastuti. Falastuti is a slokam which comes in the end, which describes the benefits of reading a sacred text. And it says that those who undertake reading this book as per the rules mentioned will be protected by Bhagwan. But Bhagwan had corrected it to, Lord Sai will look after us with great affection and satisfy all our desires. This is what Bhagwan had mentioned in the Falastuti, what would happen if you read that sacred text. In fact, Peddaputtu Amma had not even physically told Bhagwan that she had finished writing the book. She did not even give it to him. She was so shocked and stunned at Bhagwan's grace,
looking at the corrections that she went to Professor Kasturi and mentioned to him about what she saw in Reading. And Professor Kasturi then remarked, long ago, Lord Rama corrected Potana's book. Potana was a great saint who wrote the life of Lord Rama. Professor Kasturi said, long ago, Lord Rama corrected Potana's book, and now Sai Rama has corrected your book. You are blessed. Keep the book safely. So in this line, Sai Ram Bhajumana Hare Hare, we chant the name of Sai Rama, which will bestow on us all auspiciousness. And with that, we have finished gaining a glimpse of the subtle meaning of every word of this bhajan. And now, with this deeper understanding, let us proceed listening to the complete version of the bhajan. You will now hear the bhajan as it is sung in the Prashanthi Nilayam Mandir.
Ram Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare, Ram Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare, Sai Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare, Sai Ram Bhajo Man Hare. Ram Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare, Raghupati Raja Ram Ram, Raghupati Raja Ram Ram, Patita Pavan Sita Ram, Sai Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare, 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 Ram Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare, Raghupati Raja Ram Ram, Patita Pavan Sita Ram, Sai Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare, Sai Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare, Sai Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare.
Last lap of this program, and here is a small excerpt of a conversation with Brother Balram Chandran, an alumnus of Bhagwan's university who had the chance to sing in front of Bhagwan for 5 years as a student of his university.
Sai Ram, Brother Balram Chandran, and a warm welcome to the studios of Radio Sai and to this program, especially on bhajan singing.
Sai Ram, Brother.
One question that many devotees, especially those who want to offer their devotion to God in the form of music, ask is this. I know God is a lover of music. I know Swami is Ganapriya. I know you can win the heart of God through music. But even though I love music, I don't have that voice. I don't have that musical training. I don't know about the ragas. I don't have the technical knowledge. So even if I sing, it is never going to be as beautiful as XYZ who sings so beautifully. What about people like me who love bhajans, but we can never sing so beautifully? So even though we are so interested, we are, you know, by default, we start off with a great disadvantage. So is there any hope for people like me? What would you like to say to them?
What comes immediately to my mind, brother, is this. If you look at the various systems of bhajans which exist in India, each one has got its own speciality, each one has got its own peculiarity. But as per my limited understanding of bhajans, one thing which is very unique about Swami's scheme of bhajans or Sai bhajans as an area is this. Here, if you see, in most systems of bhajans, you would generally have a main singer and you would have the chorus singing. Now, yes, you might be thinking while I say this that even in Swami's system, you have what you refer to as a lead singer. But there is one critical difference as I understand. In traditional systems of bhajans, you will find that the main singer sings most of the bhajan with just a couple of lines, the chorus lines being repeated by the general group.
Yes.
But maybe, as per my limited understanding, Swami's system of bhajans is the only system where every person sings every single line.
In that sense, everybody is a lead singer.
Exactly. Everybody is a lead singer.
Yeah.
So if you ask me, I think the word lead singer has been used for want of a better word.
Exactly.
I think it is one person singing first and the other singing together.
Yeah, it's basically singing together.
Singing together. And yes, since everybody trying to sing together, especially in large crowds, might, for practical reasons, it might be cacophony or might create confusion.
So just to bring a little order.
Yes.
And a symphony. So you
exactly.
have, okay, one person sings so that all can join together.
Yeah, and I think he's called the lead singer because you end up singing first. In that extent, he's leading in the bhajan like you lead a race. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a leader.
Exactly.
I think he's just leading. That's my understanding. So I think Swami's system of bhajan, that way if you see, Swami's opened up bhajans for every single person. Now, I remember having read this, Swami's guidelines for bhajan singers, I remember Swami mentioning that if you have a voice which you think in your own assessment is not very pleasant, then he says that you sing in the confines of your home. Or you may not lead in the mic, but then you participate in the bhajans as not one of the lead singers, but along with the chorus. But nowhere have I seen Swami saying, don't sing bhajans if your voice is not good, which automatically means, and if Swami says sing in your shrine, it automatically means you're also entitled to that path, and it is not just people who have a good voice. If you read Loving God, I think Kasturi sir very beautifully says that when he sings bhajans at home, Swami once mentioned that that neighbor of yours who comes and sings bhajans in your home, he gives me a earache.
Yes.
Because he sings loudly. But then Swami never said let him not sing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you were just, perhaps on that occasion, you were just making it known how he's listening.
Exactly, exactly. And that was specifically the point. Because if you read the entire chapter, Swami was actually giving them enough evidence to say, I am in your house while bhajans are happening. It was not so much to say that this person shouldn't sing. So if the idea was that anybody who does not have a melodious voice or is not musically trained, is not entitled to take this path of devotion, then I think Swami in the first instance wouldn't have started his mission with Manasa Vajri and got everybody to sing. So that way I think the path is one for everybody.
So that was Brother Balram Chandran, who is a singer in the Prashanthi Lila Mandir as well as a regular singer in the Sundaram Bhajan group. And that brings us to the end of this episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. We hope you enjoyed this. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek. The background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. We offer this sacred endeavor with all gratitude at the lotus feet of our most beloved Bhagwan.
And with that, it's time to move on to the next segment of Thursday Life, Radio Sai Children's Hour. After 60 minutes of this program for children, I will be back with a fresh episode of Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. And today, I will share my reflections on a great son of Mother India. We observe the day of his leaving the mortal coil tomorrow, January 30th, Mahatma Gandhi. And even as we discuss his life, we'll move on to the messages that the Lord wanted to communicate and still communicates and himself came down to communicate, and how these messages should continue to inspire us to walk on that path. We will try to ruminate on them through the experiences of a very distinguished devotee of Bhagwan, Professor Sudhir Bhaskar. So this is what is in store for you in the last program of Thursday Live, Outside, Inside, Deep Inside, when I will be back again. But for the moment, it is Radio Sai's Children's Hour with Prem and Ganesh. Thank you so much, and please continue to tune in to Sai through Radio Sai.